Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thanks to all of you who've joined us this Thursday morning on the Female Solution. I'm Naima Latif, your host today, and we're going to talk about mentoring, because we have a lot of young people who may not have had the kind of encouragement that they need for their best development. So we're going to take a look at some of the positive, successful programs that are available, and we'll talk to you about how you can get more involved in the process of shaping our youth. And we'll be right back in just a moment. And, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll certainly look forward to having you be a part of this discussion. Many times we take a look at a situation and we think of what other people should be doing, but everybody has a vested interest in what happens to our society. Everybody has a vested interest in what happens to our young people. And if we find ourselves in a situation where the young people have gone astray, then we have to take a look at what we didn't do that could have made a difference. And what can we do now that we are aware that there is a need? And, of course, we've got callers on the switchboard already. We want to hear from you, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll get your thoughts. We're talking about mentoring, how to make a difference in the lives of our youth. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years.
50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Often the things we do unconsciously because these were things that were done to us. Well, we are about solutions. And the solution to the damage created by harsh words and insults and put-downs is to reverse that negative energy with more positive energy. We have to repair the damage. And that doesn't mean punishing those who we have caused pain. It means bringing love. Love is the solution to everything. What we see in our society is either an expression of love or a cry for love. And any action that is hurting someone is a cry for love. It's a sign that love is missing. What is love? The desire for the well-being of another, which means in acting out that desire, you're going to do that which is in their highest good, to the best of your ability. And when there's an absence of that intention, that means we who are behaving badly are missing love ourselves. When we know what the problem is, then we know the solution. And there's only one solution. Love is the solution to everything. And so if we can see where we have been lacking in love toward each other, particularly toward our children, then we can be more loving. We've been mistakenly believing that if you cause someone pain and they react, then you should cause them more pain. So we have juvenile detention centers for young people who are expressing the pain of lacking love in their lives. And so we give them more pain. And we expect them to become better. And when they don't, we're surprised. They become the adults that harm other people. And so we give them more pain. We send them to adult prison where they receive more pain. And we're surprised when they come out and they do even more damage. And so we punish them for being in pain by giving them more pain. Does that really make any sense? Of course it does not. And if we realize what we have been doing doesn't make any sense, then we'll stop doing it. It's that simple. We just need to admit that what we're doing isn't working. Because if it were working, we would not have the problem. The problem would be gone. If the problem is not gone, that means we don't continue to do more of the same thing, expecting different results, because what we're doing isn't working. That's why it's showing us we should be doing something else. Doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. So, let us be sane in how we raise our children. Give them positive affirmations, as our sister Jana has advised. Let's begin with the process of understanding what we're seeing when we see misbehavior. And let's empathize with those who may be misguided, because at one point all of us were misguided. All of us were lacking understanding. All of us made mistakes. And all of us need forgiveness and nurturing to give us the love that we were missing. So, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And, again, we want to congratulate our friend, our leader, and one that has inspired so many around the world, Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, who arrived, returned from France yesterday. We were with a party of people who met him at the airport and the news crews that had a chance to hear a brief statement and get an understanding that there are people around the world that are inspired by the work that we've done here in America in helping to transform this society from its meanness, the origins of its wealth building that came from the exploitation from people across the continent of Africa, primarily the West, because it's easier to transport people from the West, but they were marched across many lands to get to the West Coast, where they were transported here and forced to work at gunpoint and tortured into obedience. That was quite a struggle, overcoming that environment of meanness, cruelty, hatred, and yet we triumphed. And so there are people around the world that admire the struggle and the triumph of those who were forcibly removed from their homes. And this nation presented many powerful orators speaking and motivating change. Frederick Douglass was one who's remembered. Marcus Garvey is one who is remembered. Dr. Martin Luther King is one who is remembered. Malcolm X is one who is remembered. Minister Louis Farrakhan is one who has had international influence. And Reverend Jesse Jackson, who was awarded the highest award, the highest honor in France. And in receiving the National Legion of Honor Award, he symbolized and continues to symbolize for so many people who have participated in liberation struggles around the world. He symbolizes one who stands tall for freedom, justice, and equality. And so we congratulate him. And we remind ourselves that in this nation, we have won, we have triumphed, and we have inspired many around the world. And we need to know that. I had an opportunity to speak to a couple of gentlemen from Guinea who were there at the airport, and they spoke about how they recall, even as they fought for liberation and became an independent nation free from the colonialism of the French. Guinea was colonized by France. And now Guinea is an independent nation, one of those many nations that threw off the shackles of colonialism and regained their independence. But this was a struggle, and they recall that men such as Reverend Jesse Jackson were there and were part of the support for that liberation movement, supporting their president and encouraging the people. So the power to give a voice to those who have been downtrodden is very important. And this is why we do what we do every day here on the Female Solution. And we want you to take a look at that story and hear those gentlemen. You can go to onaireverywhere.com or the international page. Of course, the news network website will steer you right to the stories that are covered around the globe. And These are empowering stories of triumph, so we want to share them on AirEverywhere.com. And as part of the news network, we of the Female Solution Radio Show seek to bring you information that can motivate you to do your part to change the lives of those you touch. So, again, go to onaireverywhere.com and scroll over to the on-air radio TV guide. We've got a list of those communicators who are on the mission of raising global consciousness, and we urge you to follow them and listen to them. And, of course, there's also the on-air news affiliates, of which the Female Solution is one, and others that are part of a network of communicators who are seeking those positive, empowering stories of triumph to share, so that we may understand that we are winning. We are winning. The light is overcoming the darkness, and we are creating a new earth. It's wonderful to be a part of it. But our next step is to fix our missteps with our young people, those who have become disenchanted the world that we've introduced to them, and rightfully so, because so many of our systems are mean-spirited and insensitive and cruel, and this is an indication that we need to change. Our young people are reflecting to us the things that we need to change. One of the first ones being how they're educated. They're educated in a way that is cruel, insensitive, discouraging. And because we see so many people dropping out of school, that should tell us that school is not a place that is inspiring them to want to seek knowledge. Some have said we need more truant officers to arrest them if we see them on the streets and they're supposed to be in school. If school is not a place that you want to go to, that means it is not doing what it's supposed to do, which is to inspire you to learn and seek knowledge. We've had a time to really reflect on that as we've been in this pandemic for the last year. Many parents have had a chance to see what it's like to teach at home, and they have come to see that it makes a lot more sense to teach their children what they should know as opposed to allowing them to be indoctrinated with things that really don't enhance their lives. What is the real knowledge that a child needs? Well, certainly, if we're not giving them the tools they need to give them joy, peace, love, then what are we doing besides wasting your time? So we want to applaud those who are actually providing the nurturing that our children need with mentoring programs, and we want to encourage others to be a part of those programs, because mentoring youth means showing them what they should be, can be, when they become their best selves. So how do you reach a troubled child, one that has perhaps been neglected, unloved, steered in a wrong direction? Well, definitely the thing to do is not give them more pain. And this is what we must stop doing. We must give what's missing, which is guidance, which is love, which is nurturing. Not things, buy you things. We need to give that which has been missing, a sense of purpose in life. And simply sending someone to school, making them memorize useless information, and telling them they must memorize this useless information in order to be hired to work somewhere so they can get paid so they can buy things, that is not a reason for being. That's not inspiring. And that's not what's working. This is why young people come to the conclusion, well, I have to go through this step of going to school and memorizing stuff. I just take the things I want. I want a car, I just take it. I want money, I just take it. I want a TV set, I just take it. I want clothes, I just take it. Just take things from people. I'm not going through the useless step of sitting in a boring classroom teaching me nothing. I just take the things I want. Cut out that middle step. And for them it makes sense. And so this is the behavior that we're seeing. How do we fix it? We have to fix our values. We're not here to acquire things. We're here to experience joy in the relationships with each other. That's why we're here. That's the purpose of life. And anything that impedes that is not our purpose. So how do we reach a troubled child? Especially if that troubled child has been influenced by adults who are themselves troubled. And this is the challenge that we have. And we spoke about this a bit yesterday. Because so many adults are struggling with the effects of bad parenting. Parents who were themselves made to feel bad because of the people who raised them who were made to feel bad. So when people say things to you that are hurtful, they're really reflecting the hurt that's inside of them. And this is why they say things to you that are hurtful. You're so stupid. You'll never be anything. I should have aborted you. You're nothing. You're ignorant. The older you get, the stupider you get. I wish you'd never been born. You get on my nerves. I'm sick of you. Can you imagine hearing things like that and you're a child? What is that doing to your soul? A scientist did an experiment with water. And discovered that if you speak harsh words to water, when you freeze it, you look at the crystals that are formed. And he did an interesting experiment in showing that water crystals formed from water that had been spoken to harshly were misshapen and odd looking. But the water crystals that were formed from water that had been spoken to lovingly were beautiful, wonderful, intricate designs. And we are 70% water. So the words we are hearing about ourselves are shaping the very substance of our bodies. So when we're hearing words like, you're so stupid, you're ugly, you're ignorant, I can't stand you, you get on my nerves, I wish you'd never been born. These are words that are destroying us physically as well as emotionally. They're literally making us sick. So a child who is hearing these words, they're going to respond with behavior that shows that they don't feel good about themselves. People who hurt people are hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. So if we know this, then why would we continue to give pain to people who are in pain? What's the first step in reaching a troubled child? We'll talk about that when we come back and talk about some of those who have been successful in mentoring youth. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. If you're on our switchboard and you have perhaps had a mentor in your life that turned your life around, if you were headed in the wrong direction, or have you mentored a troubled child, someone that others had perhaps discarded as not going to amount to much, were you able to be that influence in their lives that made a difference? Well, we want you to press 1 and share your story, because there is a level of sensitivity that is needed in order to reach someone who has been emotionally scarred. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of love. So we'll be back after this next break, and we want you to stick and stay. And when we come back, we'll share with you some of the successful mentoring programs that you perhaps can be a part of. And we'll also share some successful techniques. If you have a child in your life, perhaps a niece, nephew, neighbor, someone who may need a little more love, a little more nurturing, a little more understanding, so they can change their lives. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with 4 legs. A child is a human being person with 2 legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every 4th Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Back, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naomi Latif, your host for this Thursday morning as we take a look at mentoring you. How to reach a troubled child. Well, we had an opportunity to discover a program in which individuals who have served time are part of an art program painting murals. And we're going to have them on a future show. We're scheduling them to come on and talk about the process of taking someone who has been treated badly in life and done bad things and bringing out the beauty inside of them through art. There are many who are serving time that have inside of them gifts that they have not been allowed to share. And sometimes some person inside the prison may discover that they have a wonderful gift as a result of someone who has come inside and seen them for who they are, the wonderful expression of the Creator that they are, and help them bring forth their wonderful gifts. Queen Mother, Reverend Helen Sinclair, one who's been a guest on our show, does a regular prison ministry, carrying on the work of her mother, Jessie Ma Houston, and her prison outpost ministry, went to the prison and talked to those who were behind bars and got to know them as human beings, the wonderful human beings that they truly are. And Queen Mother, Reverend Helen Sinclair, now a centenarian. She's reached her 100th birthday, and we'll be having her on soon as well. And she continues to visit the prison and inspire young men to write, to create beautiful words of poetry and artwork. And she and the late Dr. Margaret Burroughs, founder of the DuSable Museum of African American History, used to go to the prison and discover artists. And they discovered people who had wonderful gifts in expressing the beauty, the visual images of life. And they made wonderful drawings and paintings. And Dr. Margaret Burroughs would display them, she and Queen Mother, Reverend Helen Sinclair, gave art shows showing the work from those who had been locked behind bars. So our job is to find the beauty that has been smothered in children who are in pain, traumatized often by parents lacking wisdom, teachers lacking insight, and many adults lacking sensitivity. But there are those who have, in fact, created programs that work. And we want you to be a part of mentoring our youth. Let's go to our phone line. And we've got a sister here that's been working in the vineyards for quite a while and helping to raise consciousness about troubled young people, traumatized young people who need a hand up so that they can rediscover who they are. So I want to thank you for being with us this morning, my dear sister, Rashida Ali. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
How are you?
Well, I'm glad to hear your voice today.
Well, what I did in the past when I was younger, I was a Girl Scout leader. So we had children who excelled and some who were traumatized. Yeah, some that were EMH declared. So I had them all in the Girl Scout group. And the one who was on challenge was either scorned or, you know, picked on by them. And so I showed them how to work together as a team. And the child who was in the EMH room, they said she would never be out of the EMH room, but she excelled, and she went to Flower High School and graduated. So just from that experience as a young Girl Scout leader myself, I found out how to actually deal with, you know, and was motivated to deal with children, especially those who were rejected in the community. And so I went over to Lawndale Academy, and there was an eighth grade student, and he would always be looked over by the teacher. And I asked him, I said, why would Andrew raise his hand? You never pay attention to him. She said, well, he's in eighth grade, and I have all my other students here, and his test score is 2.5. And I don't have time for him. You know, I have to pay attention to my other students because it's time for testing. And so I said, well, could you allow me to tutor him on everything, all the curricula that you're giving to the other students on the side? And there was a class, like a little room in the back of her at Lawndale Academy over there where the 15-year-old boy got killed last night. But she said, yeah, if it does any good. So I did it. And the principal told me that the boy scored 8 points some all the way through on his testing, just in that little time. So from that experience, I learned that as children learn when they are motivated. And everybody has a gift. God gives us all a gift. And he was reaching out for attention. He wanted to participate, but he wasn't motivated. So then he became, you know, introverted. And then when he was motivated, he excelled. One day I left out of Lawndale Academy School, and I didn't come back the next day. So the day after I was coming in, he was walking out of school with his books in his hand because I wasn't there. So I would like to encourage all of us, especially the African-American heritage people, to go into the DCFS detention center where they've taken the children out of the homes. As of now, it's overpopulated, especially with our children, and they're sleeping on the floors. So even though, right now, so even though, you know, I feel like this, in spite of all the adversity and all the crimes against humanity that's existing, especially all the homicides of women in our community, that we need to reach out to our children, even though they didn't come from our own loins, because they are severely scarred in history, in the environment, and everywhere else, emotionally traumatized just by watching TV or just by coming outside their door, or they had traveled a neighbor next door, a friend that was wounded, or shot in the head, or paralyzed, or something. So we adults need to learn to look outside of ourselves and start reaching out for, you know, what God told us to do, have dominion over this earth. I have challenges in my family with my son, but I never had to whoop him. And he's very impressive and assertive. And he was also declared as dyslexic, but he almost aced that a state exam, and his IQ is very high. But when he went to private school, because he, I guess he wanted attention or whatever, or he had a lot of energy, they felt as though that they couldn't help him, and was dyslexic. I don't think he was a good student. He was dyslexic, so I homeschooled him, and that's how he excelled. So a lot of parents don't have the ability to homeschool or the will or the patience because they have their own problems. But I encourage all these people, especially people of our African-American descent, to go and reach out to those children that are sleeping on the floor at DCFS because they don't even have a room for them. They're waiting, and they don't even have beds for them. So that would be a good start for people to do as a team, in my opinion, especially so-called people who are leaders in our community that have been blessed with monetary gains. You know, pray. My son, I used to pray because he gave challenges. And then I was a single parent, but I was a believing parent, willing to learn, and a praying parent. My grandmother taught me that. Excuse me, I have a cold. My grandmother taught me that when they're born, they're on your lap, and then when they get older, they're on your heart. So my only desire was pray for them and then take an action. I prayed for them. I told the sister, her daughter is going through, you know, had adolescent stage, and she's in the crying habit. And so I told her, I said, pray for her. And pray to God and ask him to tell you what to do because there's a higher force than you. And everything is not built on this universe. I mean, it's built. God created everything. The birds, and the fires that's coming out the earth and all that. So you know it's a higher force than you. So pray to your higher self and you believe only in yourself. And then take an action with what's needed in your child if you see that's defective. As a single parent.
I agree.
My suggestion is we team up and reach out into the DCFS system And do something about the children that's having developmental sleep disabling problems.
Yes, Rashida, you said something about the children sleeping on the floor. Now, I'm not familiar with what the DCFS facility is like when children are sent there or come there. Could you describe that for us? What happens if it gets overcrowded and children are picked up, deposited there? What is that whole system like? I'm unfamiliar with that.
Well, what's happening right now, so as it was projected by one of the investigating agents, he said, right now, it's overcrowded and they don't have room, not even room for them to be placed, and they're sleeping on the floors on cars to be placed, like in a big auditorium, like they do in a homeless shelter.
Mm.
That's how they, and so they need people. And I know in my heart that it's mostly black people, and I also know in my heart, and believe in my heart from the scripture, even in the surah, the scripture is dedicated only to the women. It tells us to look out for our orphans. So that's our responsibility. I learned that as a young lady. But right now, if you do inquiries, and it would be good for you because you're into social media, so it should be easy for you to get that info. Because I don't have all the you know, data on it, but I have some information. But if you go direct to the resource and being in your type of work, it'll probably be easy for you because you know how to communicate with those people. So, yeah, but it's true. And knowing that a lot of children are being sent on home, especially now since they're getting stimulus, and when people get stimulus or money, anything from government, you don't have any privacy anymore. So they can see whatever you're doing, probe to whatever you're doing, you're not free anymore. Because they are maintaining you the stability or whatever when they gave the stimulus. So that's how they're having so many children stashed out. And there was one case, I think it was in Indianapolis, where this man, he got his stimulus and he killed his whole family, two and all, because he wanted them to share their stimulus with him and they would not. And these were cases. So mental illness is there. And they know it now, and so they're snatching the children now, trying to save them. But that's not their only, that's their job, but it's our responsibility to take care of our orphans. And it's our responsibility to make sure that they're safe, like the one-year-old baby over there who got shot in the head. It's our responsibility that we get that insanity out of the community. So the Europeans giving them stimulus is making it, taking on additional responsibility by trying to keep them safe and taking them into their custody. But we're not.
Well, let me explore that thought for a moment, because sometimes people feel like, well, if people just had more money, then the problems would go away. But then you have, like you just pointed out, you know, you have people who have stimulus money, you have people who win lotteries, you have people who get money, but it doesn't fix problem inside of them. And
yes, ma'am.
When you don't know what to do with money, then you do the same thing with a lot of money that you've done with a little money, which is basically buy things to indulge yourself. You might buy more television sets. You might, you know, buy more drugs if you're into that. Might buy more entertainment. And that's not to say that you shouldn't spend money on those things, but if your condition doesn't change as a result of getting more money, then money really isn't the problem. It's something else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So now tell us about your website, because you've been trying to get a piece of legislation that will address treatment for trauma for a long time, and sometimes people don't quite get it, that if you're traumatized, then even if you get money, you're just going to blow it because you are not in your right state of mind. So tell us about your website and the legislation that you're striving to get signatures on the petition to be introduced so that there can be some assistance for people who are emotionally traumatized by being in these very highly violent environments?
Well, the first one was when I had a contract with VA for the veterans, and they didn't have social workers, so I had to do all of that on my own will. I found out that there were a lot of homeless veterans who had been traumatized. Now that I'm older and been out there and learned more, violence creates post-stress traumas and disorders. So my first petition was for to get the abandoned buildings and our communities. I went to Operation Pusher, and I had the public aid contract, and they did that because all the buildings down there was boarded up. So my first approach was to write a proposal to HUD for the clinical process, and they gave me keys to the abandoned properties. And I went out, did outreach. When I didn't have no money, I did it on my own will. But I was successful in reaching out and getting some assistance. But then I wrote a proposal to treat the traumatized homeless victims, especially veterans, traumatized families, because a lot of the veterans were traumatized, and then their families became traumatized, and then we all had a problem. So it was to treat the homeless, traumatized veterans and have them to repair the abandoned buildings and treat their families who were in transitions and crisis because they didn't have social work. But that's okay now. The Europeans have put it into the federal registration. It's being done, but I came down to home base. Then the other one was for when I was having police brutality meetings. It was for to have legislation so that we could monitor the police that came into our community, because I had an experience with the police, and then they illegally became me, and none of the spiritual leaders or nobody came to my rescue. So I wrote a proposal to have the police monitored, because the police was the one who raped me. And then he put me in jail and stuff. So I did that to help myself and others. It was to have the police, whenever there's a call, that the citizen, like a citizen watch group, would be able to know what the police was called for and where they was called, and the gist of all of that. But I couldn't get the people on the community level. But thank God, this morning I was listening to the news, and the mayor is getting ready to have people take a vote on it and do it for the city. So at least it'll help Chicago. But none of that was done. It was back in 2012. I couldn't even get 100 black people to do it. All people so skeptical whenever our own people try to do something with them. So that was the experience, but it's been taken care of. Now the governor wrote the House Bill 150, so the children that's in the home can get the services they need legislatively. It's there. If people don't believe in being compliant with the law, then they break the law, and if they have a business or organization, they get in trouble. But it's there now. I'm thankful to Almighty. It was Almighty who did it, because this morning I heard that. I was so happy. I said, oh, wow, the mayor is going to do it. Do you think, Rashida,
that this problem is a legislative issue? Like if we had certain laws, things would change? Or is it something else? Is it something that the average citizen could help change? If no laws are passed, is this a problem, this issue of traumatized and homeless children and veterans, is this something that we the citizens can fix whether or not the government gets involved? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the way I feel about it, I think different than most people. When it comes to government, I feel like we the people are the government. And when it comes to legislation, I think it's just a rule of law for compliance. And that's why a lot of us are ignorant to the law, even though we don't make the law. All the people make it for us, and then when we don't comply, then we get penalized for it. So when it comes to legislation, I think everything in the scripture, Bible, Quran, and all of them, is legislative issues. It's that the people don't comply and don't buy. And most of us, unless we are legislators, don't pay attention and comply to the law. That's why we go to jail and all that and be harassed by the white investigators and crap like that. Because we don't believe in even contractual law when it comes to marriage. That's a binding contract. We don't even do that. So that's something that we all need to learn more. And I'm thankful to God I was motivated to learn that. But compliance rules, legislation, that's a rule to everything. Whatever, that's a law. That's a law in the Bible. That's a law in the Quran. That's a law. But we don't be part of the laws that governs us. And then we get angry and hostile and aggressive and go to jail and hurt each other and ourselves as well when we don't comply. Because there's rules. There's a rule of law, whatever. Whatever you do, there's a rule of law to it. And people don't understand it. I wish they don't understand legislation. Everything we do is governed by a law. Even when we worship, it's a law. It's rules. You can't get beyond that. And when you break the law, you're penalized. That's that. But we don't have any input because there's no way in the world I would allow, if I could afford it, that's why I'm working so hard, because everything I ever did, community, it was from my own efforts and my own money. Even when I got the contract with VA, it was from my own efforts and my own money. And I did it not in the office. I did it from the bed, my bedroom, my house, my surroundings, and my motivation from Almighty God to do it. So it's a law that people don't understand what law is. They don't even understand the basic thing, contractual law. Most of us don't.
It's an agreement for behavior. Well, Rashida, hold that thought for a moment. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk more about some of the contractual things that we can do as citizens. As you say, we are the government. Things that we can do that would address the problem in a way that would be helpful. And also I want to ask you a question about law in terms of, are there some laws that are unjust? That was the whole impetus behind the civil rights protest, in that they felt that there were some laws that were unjust and should be disobeyed because they violated a higher law. So do we still have some of those kinds of laws that are actually more hurtful than helpful that really should either be abolished or simply disobeyed? We'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll take some more of your calls. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to light your number up on our switchboard so we know you have something to say. We've got a couple callers in the queue that are ready to speak, and we're talking today with Rashida Ali, who is an activist in the cause for traumatized homeless children and veterans. And we need to do something about those who are in pain rather than simply punish them. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. will help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Well, mostly what I observed and saw was their behavior. They had a lot of energy, a lot of energy, because I was working first with the kindergarten. And then they had a need for attention. And then those who were motivated that came to school, they really needed some nurturing, because some of them had body odors, and some of them in their behavior would instead of wearing the same shirt, you know, because they had to wear uniform, because it was dirty, they would turn it on the wrong side. And how I noticed that, I asked this little girl, I said, why you have your shirt on the wrong side? She said, because I wore it yesterday, and my mother didn't have no nothing to wash it with, and I just turned it around the other way. I said, oh, okay. So then the next thing I observed was a teacher will always make them stand outside the door. The kindergarten will stand outside the door, you know, I guess to get them prepared to come into the classroom. But right at the door, there was a big hole in the wall, not even for kindergarten. And, you know, the parents would send the children to school early so that they could eat breakfast, so they had to stand out there against the wall. And they would be putting their hands inside this hole. And I said, that's probably what's making those children energetic like that. They're being exposed to asbestos. And
wow.
So I got so angry. I called the city and the principal quit after that. These children were tested. And they had exposure. That's what was creating that hypertension. You wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
I never seen children act like that before in my life. They would come in the class. They would act like wild animals. All on top of the desk. They all in the corner, where in the corner where they were putting them, they were, there was like some pipes with some plastic covering over the pipes. And the teacher, you know, she didn't know what to do. She just put them in the corner. And the boy in the corner, that was in the corner, he'd be climbing all on the legs and stuff. So this white lady, she's a southern lady, man, because sometimes I am racist. See something else. I don't know what's wrong with them. I'm leaving there like the monkey. She quit.
Oh,
no. But then I swear before a while. Then I discovered this little simple thing. Right by the door, I think I called you all in there because I called
the city. Yes, we came. Matter of fact, what's the name of that school?
It was Perry, but they changed it to Harold Washington Elementary
School. I remember
school.
They changed it to Harold Washington. That was one of those schools that they named after Harold Washington, but they didn't live up to his excellence, most definitely not. Because they had, it's just like they didn't care, and we could speak.
They just was in their comfort zone, and they couldn't come outside of their comfort zone to service those children, other than what the protocol was. But after that, the whole school system started a program for the homeless children. I even had them in the community. I had about 60 or 80 of them, and they would come, you know, in the summer. So I got some in Chicago Board of Education. Hell, everybody can do it. From the Chicago Board of Education, they gave little books with testing, and they would read, and then they would take the test. You know, those children didn't miss a day during the summer, and the Human Services Department gave the lunch boxes, and I gave them away. Right in the community, in Burnside, the smallest community in the city of Chicago, with the most unsolved homicides. So it worked, though. But a lot of people were losing their homes, and the children were staying with neighbors, or they were staying wherever they could stay. Some of them were staying in what they called a trap house. I found out what that was. I was motivated to go because I didn't have one child. And he was, you know, a marriage child, so he didn't want all that nursing. So I'm grieving because I didn't have but one child. So I went out in the community and started working with the children and learning. Because I somebody lived a shelter background when I was growing up. And then I converted into the Nation of Islam community. So a lot of things I didn't know, especially how they really lived, because I was anti-social. I was very social But it's just that I didn't do what they did, so I stayed my distance. So as I got older and I had a need, I just went out in the community. It was natural. Nobody tell me to or train me to. So that's what I learned. So then as I learned more about, I'm still learning, more about what the need is. I never got paid for it.
One of the things that you mentioned was the high rate of homelessness, people losing their homes in that community. And, of course, children suffer when they're enrolled in a school, their parents lose the home, they're in the streets, they're still trying to keep the child's life as normal in terms of a routine as possible, but you've mentioned several things that children experience when their parents don't have a place to stay, one of them being you can't wash your clothes, and that means you have to keep wearing the same clothes, which means you're going to have an odor, that might even be able to wash your own self, which means you're going to have an odor, which means, you know, children are cruel, you might get teased. In your opinion,
you're not even a kindergarten with a body odor.
Yeah, you're not even in puberty and you've got a body odor. You haven't washed for like 2 weeks. Well, what do you expect? So what can and should adults, whether they be teachers or other people's parents, what can they do to step in and help in those situations where a family is obviously in distress and needing something basic like, you know, maybe a place to shower and sleep that's clean and safe? Do we have enough of a community where we can talk to each other, or rather than point fingers of blame and shame people, do we have enough empathy for other people and compassion for other people to say, well, look, spend the night at my house, bring the children over, especially if your children are going to school together? I mean, I've had situations where, you know, maybe I had to leave town or something and, you know, had to rely on friends that my daughter went to school with, you know, to stay at their home for a while or something like that. And it was fine, you know, because the children are playing together, they're happy and, you know, having a good time. But are there ways we could make that situation less traumatizing for children by working together with those parents that are going through that distress of homelessness? What do you suggest?
Well, I suggest that, because I talked to Sister Maika about this, and Dr. Bell was training me pretty well on that, the organizing of precinct councils, where responsible adults organize at all the precinct levels to help, to do an outreach to help, especially right now with all this killing and stuff, the smudge. And organized by precinct councils, developing precinct councils, and educating the adults, training them, also what level of degrees that they have gotten, training them how to properly address the issue. You know, it's humane, it's pragmatic, common sense. But it's still, we talk about, get rid of the guns. You had no way you can get rid of the guns that they already have. Right now, we need to treat those people who are emotionally disturbed because of environmental issues. Because, like you said, money's not going to help. And we all need to know when we have the right to know. Well, why can't we address the health and the rights and needs of our people? The health and the rights and needs. That's not healthy to be like they are down there by Chinatown. People, it's a pandemic. People sleeping on the ground with baby houses with all kinds of filth around them. And it's a pandemic. And then you got to drive under that ladder, test those people or smell that, and nobody have no human pragmatic concerns. That's crazy on their part.
Let me ask a question for those who are listening and watching. And, of course, I want to say grand rising to our sister, Zelda, who is greeting us this morning. I want us to answer this question. would you bring a homeless person that you didn't know very well, but you knew them? Maybe they had been a former coworker, maybe a former neighbor, maybe somebody who showed up at your church or your mosque or maybe part of an organization. This is a person who's homeless that you may not know very well, but they don't have a place to stay. Would you bring them into your home? Now, I'm asking because I've done this several times in bringing people into my home that were going through distress. And their only problem was that they didn't have the money to have a place to stay. They weren't drug addicted. They weren't, you know, aggressively combative or because sometimes that's the reason why people don't get help is because maybe their personality is difficult. But these are just people who just were down on their luck. But I didn't know them very well in some cases, but they needed help. So let me ask this question. Would you bring someone into your home that was homeless that you didn't know very well, but you know they were in distress? And would you bring someone into your home that was homeless that had children that may or may not be very well behaved, but they probably usually when children are traumatized, they're really usually not well behaved. But would you bring them into your home for a time until they could kind of get themselves together? Answer that question. And if you're listening, if you're on Facebook, feel free to write in your comments, you know, yes, no, why not? Rashid, I'm going to ask you that question. Then we've got some people on the switchboard that want to answer that as well. But would you bring someone into your home that was in a state of distress, maybe a mother with children, or even a man with children, or a man with not children, or just, you know, somebody that you knew but not very well, but you knew they were homeless? Would you bring them into your home for a time, you know, say several months, so they could get themselves together? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you, I have done that as recent as last month. My son, he went, you know, he's grieving his own way for killing up his son. He brought in a girl with a baby, and he said that the baby reminds him of his son because of the baby. Behavior is torsion. So he brought the lady here, not his girlfriend. He's not taking advantage of her, but he has that type of heart. And he brought the girl in with the baby. So she went out and left the baby here. And so I said, this baby knows his money. I thought to put a mask on that baby. And you wouldn't believe the mucus came out that baby. And I thought again, I said, you know, she out there in that trap house with her baby, and this baby could catch the corona because she had nowhere to go. Took her out, brought her over here. I live in a red-aged building, so she couldn't stay here no more than 3 days. But, yes, I did it because I have love in me. I may be loquacious, talk a lot, but... That's the only one I'm upset about something. But I brought in, my couch looked like, I don't know. But I let her sleep on it, her and the baby. And I fed them. Yes, I would. And I have done it. Everywhere I've ever gone, I let them stay with me. Even Bishop Beckman, who was homeless, let him stay with me. Took him to the VA, got him in the psych, got him treated, got him placed. So, yeah, I'm that type. Not my family in mind, and I don't bring my family, but this less than a month, I sort of regret it because I like a very clean house, and my couch was like a ghetto couch. But, yeah, when my son said he's going to come to me, yeah, I'll do it, and I'll do it again, but I'm getting out of here to do it because these people here don't give. They'll put a senior citizen out in the street.
I've seen that.
To me, because I have had a water disbursement in here. So, yeah, they don't have. I did it, and I'll do it again.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's one of those things that we can choose to do. It doesn't take any government legislation. It just takes a heart of love, like you say, you have love. That's what's needed. So let me take a few other callers. Hold on, Rashida, we'll be right back. Let me see. And, of course, if you would like to write in your comments on our Facebook page, we're on the Female Solution Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and type in the Female Solution, and there we are. And make sure you like this page so you can get our regular updates when we're live. But let me go to area code 863 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and viewing audience, and give us your thoughts about that. Would you bring in a homeless acquaintance, not necessarily a close friend, but somebody just in distress that you kind of know, but you know they need help? And if they had children, how do you feel about that?
L.A., Central Florida, Grand Rising to all.
L.A.?
Yeah, I tried that experiment. That's what gave birth to It's My House.
Oh, that was the woman who wouldn't leave, right?
They had gotten kicked out of their sister and brother-in-law's house, who took them in when they relocated from another city. This person had a daughter, and they were headed on to the the shelter. And I was on my way at the time, headed to Europe for about 3 months. So, I knew the person, so that's why I said, well, I'd rather take a chance on this person than, renting out to a total stranger.
Yeah.
So all they had to do was house it. Now, what...
Like a good arrangement.
What I would do... in 2021 and beyond, is if they're in some kind of proximity to maybe a piece of land that I have, what I would do is teach them how to build their own sustainable housing.
Now that's a thought.
Now I would do that. And I say, all right, well, let's say it's because right where I'm at, it's about 9:30 in the morning, 9:27 right now. So if I ran across a person like this time of day, okay, if they got children, the more the merrier, because they can all participate. Okay, we got a certain amount of hours of sunlight, and the mission is to get a roof over your head that you're going to all help. Learn together and put it together yourselves. You have a vested interest in it. And you know what? When it's built, you own it. I'll do that. But I'm not letting nobody else in.
No more house sitters. Well, there is an organization. Matter of fact, we were exploring them last year, a couple of years ago. They were building these tiny, tiny houses for homeless people. You know, basic shelter that they could stay in. I think they're made out of wood or some, type of sturdy materials. So I think that's very doable, especially if you have land and are willing to share it for free with people who just basically need a sustainable structure that they can go inside and stay. I think that is, that's a workable solution for people who own property.
It also eliminates, because from learning that skill, then they can build, you want a 4,000 square foot home, they got the fundamentals on how to do that, the fundamental part. But, that way they would have a vested in, they would build it and it's theirs.
They don't own it. They don't have to pay anybody anything. No rent. I built it.
Well, they might have to pay for land or what. I'll even teach them that part of it, how to go out and get your own land. But as far as the from getting out the elements, if we met at 9 o'clock or 9:30 in the morning, okay. This because I've run across people because I'm a landlord. I've had people come to me that have children. And they would want to rent like a little tiny room in a house.
Wow!
And I didn't think it would work. That's why I didn't rent to them. But then looking at them, putting myself in their position, particularly if you have children, some people just want to get inside, out of the elements, out of the way of other people, out of the way of harm, So, okay, once again, a simple structure that you can source from local materials within a 1 square mile radius of wherever you are, that can be done. It's just they had to be taught that. And that's a skill that most people had maybe 200 years ago, but modern education doesn't teach that.
I remember when I went to Liberia and we were seeing like these shacks basically made out of all kind of odd materials, rubber, you know, tires, metal from torn down buildings. But people made these structures and that was their home. And I just passed by what I guess Tent City the other day here in Chicago underneath a there's several of them, you know, different places where people just will set up a tent and live. They're homeless, but that's the roof over their head. That's what they have. It would make a lot more sense to help people build a sturdy structure that could keep them warm in the winter time, and it would make sense to find ways for them to even use solar energy for things like heating and you know what,
Naima, that would be all part of it. Now, I might not get the solar part on day one, but, you know, if they do that, then, okay, I'll stick with you a little bit. We introduce them to solar and, you know, think where they won't have an electric bill, you know, so or a light bill. You know, it would stuff like that. I'll go that route, but like I said, I tried the other way. And another thing I learned and my mother taught me this. This was after I was already in this debacle with this other person. And maybe it's different for different people. But she told me because this was a female. And I guess this could apply to males too. Person who has a child and they have a living parent or other relatives and they can't go, because this person was headed to a shelter. That's what came out of their mouth. So if a person can't go lay on their mama's couch with their granddaughter, then you don't want to deal with that person. So
it's got to be.
Well, their social capital. They've burnt bridges social capital wise. Within, you know, they don't have any family or friends, so therefore they had to go to the shelter. And then of course, if you don't make it to the shelter on time, and then the shelter's got rules, you won't be in there or even get
you
in. So I feel I would be of more help if they're willing to learn how, like say, you got 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours of sunlight. Okay, what are you willing to do to get a roof over your head that you own by the end of this 6 to 8 hours? That's why I would approach it.
That is a workable solution. Well, hold on. We got to take our last break, but I got a question I want to ask you about that situation when someone who has living relatives someplace for some reason can't go to them. Does it mean that they are so dysfunctional nobody will let them stay? Or is it a sign that maybe their family is too dysfunctional? How do you tell? Well, we'll be right back with that question. Of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1. And, of course, if you're on our switchboard, press 1. If you'd like to add your comments, we'll be taking more comments after this break. We are talking about mentoring youth. How to reach a troubled child. Well, a lot of children are traumatized. A lot of children are coming out of homeless or nearly homeless families. They don't have the power to fix the problem, so all they can do is act out. And we can reach out if we would just choose to care, and we can help. So we'll talk about more ways of helping after this quick break, so stay with us.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Radio TV show, our global radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif. We've been talking to Rashida Ali, who is an activist in the cause for homeless and traumatized children and veterans. And, of course, we've got on our live line right now L.A. Davis from Central Florida, who has the show It's My House, inspired by someone who was homeless that tried to take over his house. So that was quite a learning experience. And we've got our sister of the microphone, Zelda, who's adding a comment. She said, I work with the Higher Learning Network, NFP, which teaches youth behind-the-scenes radio, TV, print production. To encourage youth, we produce the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest monthly. It's a monthly contest with teens 13 to 19. They're encouraged to apply at hlntvshow@gmail.com to win prizes and cash. So check it out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/higherlearningtvshow to see the videos. Youth and parents can join in and watch at facebook.com/hlntvshowzelda. And, of course, this is another great encouragement for our youth, many of whom don't have an opportunity to perform in school because so many schools have taken away the creative program. And we have so much talent in our young people. And if we would just recognize the good, then perhaps we would never see the bad. And Zelda says, producing this show taught me that there are many homeless children, who are having to function as if they have a roof over their head and clean clothes to wear and a place to shower and food to eat like everybody else. They have to keep going anyway. She said she had no idea. So, L.A., one of the things that I take a look at is what are some of the things that we have to do to overcome really what are unjust laws. I think it's an injustice to put people out of doors when there is a structure that can hold them. I think it's an injustice to not allow people to stay in structures that are empty because they don't have money. I think the whole monetary system, once we evolve to higher consciousness, will no longer exist because it basically is a way to withhold what people need and not share. And not sharing is not godly. So how can we say we're doing what's right when we're hurting people by not sharing what they need? We're letting them suffer in the elements, and we have empty buildings. Not everybody who is homeless is drug addicted or a criminal. Some of them just come on hard times. But, L.A., I want to ask you this question before I take caller at 312-671. I've known many people who've been in situations where, you know, they're between homes, something happened, they lost a job, got fired, laid off, whatever, just didn't have enough savings, you know, had a divorce, and this is a big one, divorced people, both men and women. When as a couple, together you could survive, and maybe there was really one person who was financially holding things together. But then when there's a split, that person who didn't have the money gets put out the house. There have been times when it's been the woman. There have been times when it's been the man. And the person who doesn't have the money ends up homeless. Now, sometimes they don't go back home because they're ashamed. Sometimes they don't go back home because their family feels like, well, that's your fault. You didn't make your marriage work. You know, figure it out. And so they're out there. What can help us know if we want to help someone and we know they have family, but their family will not welcome them in, you know, even if it's, you know, sometimes it's a space issue. Well, look, we don't have an extra room for you and you got five children. You can't come here. I don't know. Maybe it's a just non-compassionate issue. How can we tell, though? What are the signs that maybe the person is homeless because of their own behavior and attitude, and maybe you're taking on a problem that's beyond your ability to solve? How do you tell
the person
is homeless because of them?
That's a very broad and complex question, but just on the surface, number one, is the person in question, or like yourself, or the person that's somebody's coming to you, I think the person that, I mean, you got to ask yourself, number one, are you a social worker? I'm not one. I'm not a social worker. That's number one. Number two is if they're coming to you, all right, and you know that they have relatives and they have friends, because more naturally people go to relatives and close friends first.
Mm-hmm.
So if they haven't had luck with that tells me, the way I'm interpreting it, is they have little or no social capital. I mean, the social services office is basically set up for people who are bankrupt when it comes to social capital.
Mm.
And this is an example of social capital. Social capital, an example of it is, you can come to somebody, you know, and you know what, so-and-so, man, I'm broke. You know, can you give me $5 for a Big Mac?
Wow.
Or, can you put me up for a night on your sofa? You know, you got that kind of social capital, that kind of goodwill, where, you know, they'll give you, they'll buy you the Big Mac or let you stay on the couch or garage or whatever for a night, or it might end up. I know when I was going through that thing with the prelude to It's My House, I had social capital in about 3 or 4 houses when I would go into town, the Baltimore, D.C. area, where I can go I was able to draw on that social capital for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
You know, because I didn't go into I didn't go into nobody's house and try to take it over. I followed their rules, you know, that type of stuff. So that's why I'm saying that's from my experience. All right, if they're coming to me, more than likely they have exhausted their social capital or they're socially bankrupt. All right, then that's where I go to. But what I will do, I'll stick with you for the next 6 to 8 hours, and I'll show you how to source the material and how to construct your own dwelling that you will own at the end of the process. I'll do that.
So now let me ask you this.
Won't never have that problem again.
Well, now the next issue is that friend who is relying on social capital. And they always got to borrow $5. They always, I mean, it's like it's a never-ending issue. You see them, and it's like month after month, year after year, they've been on hard times for 10 years. And they, you know, always, you know, need to borrow $100. I'm short on my rent. Always, you know, can you loan? I mean, just never.
Well, that's part of the culture here in the United States, because in grades 1 through 12 in mainstream schooling, be it public or private, and even at home, we don't learn, and this is why China is kicking our butt and taking names. In our culture, we are conditioned, including white folks, we are conditioned to borrow money to buy a house, borrow money to get a, we're not taught, how many of your friends, I'm a baby boomer, how many of your friends know how to make something, how to manufacture something?
Mm.
How to make your own clothes, how to make a pair of shoes, how to bake an apple pie?
You don't know. If your parents didn't teach you and the school's not teaching you, you're not going to learn unless you learn it from somebody. And
yeah, well, YouTube these days, yeah. If a person has a skill on how to make something, you know, because some people have the mindset, oh, man, I'm broke or near broke, but I can bake me a pie or I can make me some dinners. I was just telling somebody yesterday morning, about 24 hours ago, you know, they have a job, but they're looking for money, you know, earn more money to make ends meet. I said, look, I sent them a video on YouTube where this guy's a personal chef. And he makes $14,000 a month cooking for other people.
Wow. There's a will, there's a way. That's always the way. And I think what happens, people lose the will. And that's one of the things. If you don't believe in yourself, then even if someone gives you a handout, it never translates into a hand up because you just don't believe you can do it. And so you don't do the things that are available. You don't learn the skills. You don't seek a way to earn money doing something that people need. You just look for the handout. I mean, some people are stuck there. So let me take one more call. But hold on, because I want to get to this thing of helping people who are stuck in that handout stage and can't move beyond that. And they're just perpetual homeless, and possibly they are traumatized, and we're not recognizing it. Let me go to area code 312671. I believe we got Minister Plump on the line. Grand Rising, thank you so much for joining us today. So what are your thoughts about this? Would you help a friend, or maybe not even a close friend, but an acquaintance who was in dire straits and was homeless, even if they had children and you only had one room? Would you help someone who was on the street, and why or why not? And what has been your experience with that?
Hallelujah. Wayo and Yah Shalom, Ahura. We don't die, we multiply. Black power forever. And Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom. And good morning and grand rising to you and Rashida and my beloved 23 listening audience.
Grand rising.
This is your brother. Yes, we can. Yes, I can. Yes, I have done it. And like Rashida Ali said, I will do it again. This is your brother and friend, Minister Robert Floyd Cole Plump Foundation, which is the president of the Harold Washington Foundation.net. And the bottom line is, welcome to the best time for the rest of your life on the greatest program in this day and time, right down to the modern time, the Female Solution. Rashida Ali, I introduced her to the program, Naeem.
Oh,
you
now
know?
She's
prominent
here, giving us great information and inspiration.
And she is the executive secretary of the Harold Washington Foundation. I want everybody to know, as well
that
as she is,
the
founder. Yes, she is the founder and president of Grassroots Organization Incorporation. I'm one of the veterans that Rashida has helped. And the homeless children. And you have too, Naeem. The Harold Washington Elementary School.
Yes. Rashida, all right, I've opened your mic up again because, you know, one of the things that has been brought up about helping people who nobody else will help, in your opinion, Rashida, is that a sign that maybe somebody is suffering from trauma that needs to be addressed? Maybe their behavior is so erratic you can't have them in your home. And so that's why they're homeless. How do we help people like that when you can't have them in their house because they just their behavior is too unstable?
Well, what I've done, I had that experience. What I did with working with the homeless veterans, and Robert can attest to this since he's on the other line. I referred them, or either took them directly to VA. And I also have sent and taken and filled out paperwork through the Department of Health and Human Services. So what they can do at VA, the referrals that I sent there, in fact, one guy, he was a retired detective. I took him there, and he agreed with the psychiatrist and to let me sit in on his treatment session. And Robert Plump and Bishop Jackson, I referred them too. So I referred them that I could bring into my home. I referred them to institutions that could help.
And
so that's
Naeem,
one thing. And then at the school board, at the school, what I did, I helped to organize the parent council. And then that's when they came up, I think LL something, where volunteer parents can come into the school, and then the whole family can get treatment. And when I was in Michigan, hello?
We got another call I'm going to bring on, 708-677. But one thing, Rashida, you mentioned about other agencies, off the top of your head, is there an agency that you feel is helpful besides DCFS that, you know, takes children out of dysfunctional families but then doesn't necessarily have a place to put them that's better, in my opinion? But is there an agency that you would recommend if you want to help somebody, you know you can't bring them to your house, but you want them to have a safe place to stay, where would you recommend that they call?
It's hard to say right now because they're overflowing with the one on Canal Street, and they don't have no room. So what I would refer people who want to be accountable and responsible to either form their 501c3 and actually do something for an outreach. A lot of these people, they just use, I found out
on a neighborhood level. They just use it for interaction with those who are already in their environment, you know, but for outreach they don't have it. So I think it would be best for people like you and other people who have the same interests or similar goals and purpose to reach out with proposals to develop programs like that. Because
I think we got time to bring in another caller, and we got our sister Maika joining us, Grand Rising. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Female Solution. Give us your thoughts about this. We're looking at
Grand Rising. I'm going to be quick. I don't know if you're going to go over or not. Are you?
I'm trying not to.
Okay. All right then. So anyway, I want to applaud you for highlighting this topic, and it's one of the most important topics of the day, because we have children coming across the border who disappeared. They have no accountability. They have no parentage, you know. And usually when children are abandoned or suffering, they're put into satanic rituals, and they are used as sexual objects to please people who are sick themselves. So that's a major problem. And so we've got to address it. And we're sending our children out into a world that is basically programmed for 20th and beyond, going backwards, you know, into the minus type of interactions. But we've moved to the point zero, the zero point, you know, where we can then advance into the pluses, plus one. You know, we've been in the minus long enough. I mean, our 400 years is over. So we really have to create something new. It's not the old can't sustain us in the 21st century. Our minds have to become new. And so that's what we have to give our children more than anything else at this time. So, Rashida, I want to say something about Rashida Ali. I'm telling you, every time this woman has told me something to do in terms of contracts and government stuff, it works. It sounds like it won't work, but it's like, wow, it worked.
So
she's a great leader in the field of, you know, setting up contracts and organizations, and I want to encourage her to continue. I live here in Pembroke Township, and my thing is, for me, when I look at Pembroke Township, you know, when, like, you look at an old house, and then you want to buy an old house, or you want to buy a house that's already made up by somebody else. Well, Pembroke Township is one of them old houses that can be shaped and made any way you want to. And so in my mind, Pembroke Township is a haven for children, that children can have a place to come when they are without parentage and they want to be safe, a real safe space for children on the land where they can work, where they can play, where they can be protected, and they can eat natural foods. That's my vision. And I just want to invite others to join my vision, because that's called a place of peace on earth. Do you know one?
That's our goal. And so let's get together and spend some time planning out when we can take a group of young people out there to Pembroke. We talked about that the other day, getting them out of the environment, getting them someplace where they can be at peace and they can reconnect to nature and they can de-stress. So that's a next step. Yeah. So we're gonna create that activity.
Yeah, we
and
can
make
show
it,
them the buffalo herd. It's a buffalo herd. It's a protected buffalo herd.
We're about to cut off of our online. If you all want to continue, we're gonna give you all another 10 minutes, just 10. If you want to join us on Facebook, you can go to Facebook, The Female Solution. If you call in now, you can be on our switchboard. Otherwise, the switchboard cuts off at exactly 9 o'clock on the dot. If you're already on a switchboard, stay on. We'll give you an opportunity to make a few more statements before we leave at 9:10. And for those who are listening online, reconnect with us on Facebook, The Female Solution. So, we want to thank all of you who listened in today and contributed. I'm going to give you all another 10 minutes because I want to solidify this thought that we actually, on a regular basis, take young people out there as part of their healing process, part of the process of them getting what they've been missing in terms of their access to nature and giving them a chance to be in a in an environment where there is no violence, there is no fear of violence, and helping them to heal the hurt that they have been through. So, Rashida, what are your thoughts on that? If we, you know, a lot of young people, Zelda, of course, is coming across a lot of young people and doing her teen talent search. And in a few weeks, we're going to do a special program with Wanda Carter and her Woman to Woman TV show and having a group of young people tell us the traumas that they've been through so that we can understand the behavior we're seeing. I would love to get a busload of us out, take them out to Pembroke, spend a day, maybe even an overnight camping thing, and give them a chance to experience life outside the city in a different environment and atmosphere. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think we could identify maybe some homeless youth, some, and then maybe L.A., we could maybe we can fly you in to teach them some home building skills. You know, how you create
your own.
I think that would be wonderful, and it's easy to get them because there's a shelter down there on Canal Street right off of Roosevelt, and
yeah.
they have a lot of kids. They have a lot of children in there. And what I didn't like about it, it's like, it's really strange. If the parents have children, they have like a steel door. And behind that steel door, the children go inside there, and that's where they sleep with the parents. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, they have to get up and eat. And then from there, they're taken into the street. They have to be in the streets, and they can come back at lunchtime and sit around the place on the inside. But they have to check their stuff out, their personal stuff, soap and whatever. That's why you see a lot of people that are homeless carrying bags, because when they leave out that shelter down there, they have to go outside. They can't stay inside unless they just sit around in the room. And if they have children, they have buses to take the children to school at that time. But that's a good place for an outreach to get your targeted group from with safety. And they accept contracts to proposals from others. And you can submit a proposal to their social worker to take the children, the homeless children, to a gathering.
Well, we'll work on that. Yes, Brother Plump, you had another comment. Go right ahead.
Yes. First of all, you know, I'm with National Black Wall Street Chicago, and I'm also on the board of directors of Grassroots Organization with Rashida Ali, and I'm on the board of directors of National Black Wall Street Chicago with Jay Minor Allen, which is Mark Stanley Allen's brother, and we are holding it down for jobs or for businesses. We are employing 100% and more of our people, and every Tuesday at 6:58 p.m., Dr. Julius Thomas Nettles Bay is usually my keynote speaker, and then every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30, I am the keynote speaker at 4655 South Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah,
Drive.
And I know also, Minister Plum, also Dr. Nettles Bay, he's got quite a bit of knowledge on you know, natural herbs, plants, and things like that.
Right.
And
right.
we'd like to develop a whole program today out in the country in Pembroke. Have you and Dr. Nettles Bay come and share your opportunities for independent businesses. We're going to share
right.
home building skills. We're going to share things like, you know, cooking skills, life lessons, life skills, you know,
yes.
clothing creation, all those. sense of empowerment. Now, we've got to leave now. Can't stay much longer. But, Minister Plum, I'm definitely going to be getting in touch with you all to be a part of this and to give us, and L.A., we're going to figure out a way to get you back to Chicago and down to Pembroke. And we still have that vision of having some land where we can build some tiny houses, build some solar-powered houses, build some homes where people can buy and own and not have to pay anything anymore. And some of these things that we can do don't require any legislation. They just require our commitment to do them. The question, though, that we have to ask ourselves is, are we ready to deal with people who may be at various levels of emotional trauma? And that's the challenge, because people don't always behave the way you think they should when you give them something. Sometimes the behavior is even worse. I've known people who have allowed people to stay in their home, and the people turned on them and became hostile for whatever reason. Maybe it was a sense of guilt. And then, of course, you had L.A.'s experience where the woman tried to take the house over and didn't want to leave, and he had to go through the whole legal thing. But, Rashida, before we go, and I also want to hear from Maik again, because we're going to be bringing all these people down there to where she's living at right now. But, Rashida, before we go, when it comes to young people that have been traumatized and we want to help, and yet there are behaviors that they are exhibiting because they are traumatized, how do we help when you've got maybe a young person that's cussing you out? Maybe they tend to want to fight all the time. Maybe they're disrespectful. They've been through trauma. And usually what adults end up doing is getting angry at them and wanting to punish them for their behavior, but their behavior is a reflection of their trauma. How can we address that?
Well, what I did, that's personal. What I did, I went into the community, and we organized with Dr. Velvet and his team a conflict resolution. And so once we did that, we started it, and then Dr. Velvet, he had delegated some other people to go into the school. So first of all, after observation of the behavior, that's part of the clinic process, and you refer them for professional help. That's what I did. If they don't want to do it, then I went to the parents and suggest to the parents that the parents participate with the youth. Because behaviorally, Dr. Price, he taught me that behaviorally, that's the most problems, you know, and that's our problems, and that's why it's so they don't have revenues for life. But I wanted to tell you this, sister. There is a federal legislation, because I used to lobby, and it's called the Stuart B. McKinney Act. Now, the Stuart B. McKinney Act is the only federal legislation for the homeless, and it's motivational, but we don't utilize it. And we could not have no homeless in the whole United States if we did that, because all the abandoned HUD houses and the government houses with the federal legislation is mandated that they have housing. But a lot of us are ignorant to the law, but it's mandated. And in fact, Title IX of the Stuart B. McKinney Act, I gave a proposal. I'm not narcissistic, but I was just doing it just to do something. I wrote a proposal for a grant, and in that proposal, I included the homeless, and they made a legislation, Title IX of the Stuart B. McKinney Act, the only federal legislation for the homeless, as my writing, my proposal. So there's no need for these people in the community with businesses and organizations not to do something on the community level, or whatever community they're in, to reach out to the homeless, because there's a law, and there's funding as well. There's a law called the Stuart B. McKinney Act. All these federal legislation for the homeless. And we have too many abandoned houses. You know what I'm saying? Our community. So I wrote a trade from that. So little things that you see naturally that's undone, that's causing problems, and against, like it's written, the health interests, rights, and needs of us, that we can deal with that. And there's a law in place so we can actually do it. But you've got to comply. That's why people don't do it, because they don't like complying.
Well, we can't
be afraid
of a little paperwork, and we got to make this happen. So I would love to do it before the end of the summer, at least have one group out perhaps sometime in August. We'll figure out, you know, the best date, if not August, certainly early September before the weather changes. But I would love to take a group out and just begin the process of doing that which we already have the power to do. It's already in our hands. We just need to have enough love in our hearts for those who need help. So I want to thank all of you all for participating. You know, this is the Daily Think Tank, where we come up with the solutions and actually put them together and make them work. And we'll be calling on all of you to be a part of it. And we can save our young people and our seniors, our elders, our middle-aged people who are suffering the effects of trauma and sometimes just suffering the effects of an economy that won't include them. So we can make that happen. And, Maika, I'm going to get with you, and we're going to figure out a name for this program, because we got to...
All right, baby. As a citizen of Pembroke Township, Illinois, Kankakee County, I invite you to bring your best here.
All right. Yes.
Yes,
well,
ma'am.
Let us do that.
And that goes to everybody. We need everybody. Everybody have you known of a modern city that has been built by African American indigenous people here in America?
Mm.
Pembroke is the only African American agricultural community in the North with that southern flair.
Agricultural community of the North.
Founded on the Underground Railroad by Pap Kip and his family, the Underground Railroad, you can see it. It's so interesting. It's just it's historical in its bearing. And people are trying to bring natural gas into this natural setting.
So I'm sure they're open for solar.
We don't want that.
Yes, we'll make that
that's
happen.
That's what we want. Right, and that's why we need your assistance. Because it's natural. It's totally natural. It's a bird sanctuary. You know? So there's so much that can be done. And we want the homeless to come also. You know, we can provide programs for homeless rehabilitation. As a matter of fact, I'm in the process of setting up a free clinic here in Pembroke Township. And so we want to teach people self-care. How to care for yourself when nobody else, the hospital, the doctor, and all them people ain't around you. How do you take the natural herbs and the clays and the sand and use that and other things to heal yourself? You know? How do you build a shelter? We want that. We need that. We welcome that. So, come. Please come. Bring your best. Thank you.
We'll be calling you today, because we're going to set the date. We can come out there and plan this out. So thanks so much, and thanks to all who have listened. All right, we got a plan, y'all. So we're going to make this happen, and be talking further about
we've
this
come to the
as
end of our
we
show
get
today.
Ready.
But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books,
and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakor. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.